Thanks again, Mrs. Dougal, for that wonderful playing. It really helps people like me sing, and it really gives us joy to hear people singing about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing here. We're waiting, and not just waiting, we're occupying until he comes. That's a command given by our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, I'd like to look at another command in Matthew's Gospel, beginning chapter 28 and verse 18. Now the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has taken place. And before that, of course, he was buried. And before that, he died for our sins. All of our sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the work of salvation was done, complete, and it's over. And no one can add anything to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. In obedience to his Father, he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. And that's the gospel according to the Bible itself. If anyone asks you what the gospel is, it are those three things: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. Someone has well said that the Lord Jesus Christ did all the saving and we did all the sinning. And that's very true. There is nothing that can be added to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Tonight, Lord willing, we will witness a baptism. And we'll get to what baptism really is. But before we do that, I'd like to emphasize the gospel. You know, there's no such thing as a scriptural baptism of an unbeliever. In order to be scriptural, and it's so important to be that, to be scriptural, because that's all that we have and that's all that we need. We don't need the traditions of men or the doctrines of demons, and the two are not necessarily the same. Sometimes one rides into the other. Give you, for instance, there are people that tell you that baptism does wash away sins. How false. Baptism does not wash away sins. The Bible is very clear upon that point. Very clear. Some people believe in household baptism, where you take a little baby, and when somebody in that house gets saved, they baptize the whole family, saved as well as unsaved. That's a doctrine of demons. The Bible knows nothing, again, of those who are unsaved being baptized. When we find out what the meaning of baptism really is, we will see clearly why. It's only for those who are saved. Some people believe that infants should be baptized. In many cases, they sprinkle them. I myself was sprinkled, and many people here were sprinkled as infants, and also salt was put on my tongue. Now, the significance of all of that is hard to understand, but that's the way it was. But we see here in the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 18 of chapter 28 of Matthew's gospel, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them." This is the last thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said while he was yet with them. We could go to the book of the Acts. But in this capacity, his last real instruction to them on how to carry out his command is this. He said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, someone once said, well, it was a Unitarian, in fact, I'll just tell you that. He believes not in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ at all. Those people are lost and they're in their sins. The Bible says, unless you believe, in fact, the Lord Jesus himself said it, unless you believe that I am, that means God, you will die in your sins. That's how you find out whether someone is genuinely a Christian. There's a thing going about, I haven't seen any lately, but there are people belonging to the Way Ministries. And they are a counterfeit of Christianity, and they sound like Christians, kind of, until you ask them, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And well, they say, well, he's a righteous man, a good teacher, and they'll say all kinds of things. But I'll say, do you believe that he is God? And they'll say, well, no. I said, you're as lost as they come. You will die in your sins if you keep that up. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. So all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what it says here, all power. Now let me ask you a question, because this is very important. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander in chief. There is, in fact, we have no other commander other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that is why it's so important to obey him, which we will see this evening. Not only is Matthew Rieger obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, but this assembly is obeying the Lord Jesus Christ by baptizing those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's quote the verse and read it. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? Teaching them the gospel. We preach the gospel, but don't forget, we teach the gospel as we preach the gospel. You're telling somebody something that they don't know. That's teaching. A person may be very intelligent, but we're all ignorant of something. Just different things. Thank God we are not ignorant of our Lord Jesus Christ here. We could use more knowledge in the things of God. No matter how spiritual we are, we all need to know more about Jesus. We sing it, more about Jesus, what I learn, and so on. We all need that, but we're not as ignorant as we used to be. We know more about the Lord Jesus Christ than we used to, and thank God for it. But he says, go therefore and teach all nations the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now you'll notice there are three persons here mentioned from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There are three persons in one God. Not three gods, three persons in one God. And we don't understand it, and anyone who pretends to understand it in all their fullness, in all its fullness, is greatly mistaken. It's a mystery that we finite beings cannot understand, because we're talking about the infinite. And he says, baptizing them, who? Those who have responded to the gospel, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their precious souls. And we'll see that later on. And it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. All means all. Not part of the scripture, all of the scripture. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. Now, there's a double positive right there. Now, that's just the same thing as saying, verily, verily. When the Lord Jesus Christ said verily once, it's important. When he doesn't say verily, he just says something, that's important. But when he says verily, verily, or all things whatsoever, it's supremely important. Whatsoever I have commanded you, he is our commander in chief. And there was no other commander. He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the age." Now, for those that like alliteration, and especially for those that hate alliteration, we'll use the letter M. Christ has commanded us to make disciples. He's commanded us to teach or baptize. That means to mark the disciples by baptism. That means to make them testify publicly that they are Christians. And the third M is to mold them, to teach them. Making, marking, and molding disciples for Christ. Now, what does it mean to be a disciple? We get the word discipline from the word disciple. And the word disciple means a follower of someone. You have people that are temporary disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in John chapter 6. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his followers, and he said, "I am the bread of life." And he also said, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And people were offended at that, and they no longer followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Some did, but most did not. They became offended because they said, "How can this man give us his body to eat?" And I'll explain that. If you go a little further down in the passage, you will find that he says, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit." In other words, they're supposed to be spiritually discerned, not literally discerned, spiritually discerned. In other words, you're supposed to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord. And being your Lord, he actually is your life. We live in order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered why God has never taken us home to be in heaven the moment we got saved? It's because of this command right here. These people that he was speaking to were saved. There's no record of any unsaved person ever seeing the Lord Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. There's no record of that in the Bible. There's no record of any unsaved person ever touching the Lord Jesus Christ after he was taken down from the cross, or even after he died on the cross. There's no record of that. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me, those who are his disciples. He commands us, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And he has commanded us to carry out the ordinance of baptism. Now, what is baptism? We've already mentioned a little bit about what it is not. It does not wash away sin. Baptism has already been mentioned by our brother Ralph in his prayer that it speaks of the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you go under the water, you become immersed. In other words, you're not seen. The water covers you. It's the same thing as being buried. You are covered. And when you come up, it symbolizes the resurrection. Now, that has already taken place in those who are baptized, because we don't baptize unbelievers knowingly. We watch a person's life. Anyone that comes to this door, a stranger to us, and asks for baptism, we wouldn't do it. But when a person has demonstrated and has asked for baptism, they demonstrate their life for Christ, their love for Christ, and they demonstrate that to those who are responsible Christians. You cannot refuse baptism. Now, in this assembly and in the scripture, we have two ordinances. Some people call them sacraments, but I prefer the word ordinance because they have been ordered by our Lord. And one of the things that is necessary for an ordinance to take place, you have to have somebody that is an order giver, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first requirement. There are three, I believe, that are scriptural, and others may have more. But one of the things is that it has to be ordered of the Lord. So that certainly applies to baptism, and it certainly applies to the Lord's Supper. Now, there are two different things. With the Lord's Supper, we celebrate and recognize and carry out the remembrance meeting, how he died for us. In the baptism, we celebrate our identification with him. And that's what it is. It's a public form of identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a carnival. There should be done with reverence and respect and order and decency as befitting a place where the Lord Jesus Christ has placed a testimony. Now, some people can be baptized in a swimming pool. I've seen that done, and that's perfectly all right. There are a lot of churches that do not have facility for baptizing. It's perfectly all right. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was baptized in a river by John the Baptizer. Baptized in a river. One thing about baptism is it's always public, never private. Years and years ago, a young woman wanted to be baptized, and she approached me privately and said, I would like you to baptize me. And I wasn't quite sure what she meant by that. I says, what do you mean? She says, I want to be baptized right now. I'm saved, and I love Christ, and I see baptism, and I want to obey it, and I just want you to take me out. We can go somewhere, anywhere. And she says, and it was cold. She says, even if we have to break the ice, I want to be baptized. I says, no. Baptism is public, and it's carried out in a public way because it's a public thing, and it's publicly identifying oneself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not important, I believe, to understand everything about the significance of baptism. When I was baptized in this very baptismal facility, a little over 30 years ago, I was baptized here, and I was interviewed before my baptism, and I will tell you, I did not understand what I understand now about baptism. Why I wanted to be baptized was very important, and I'll tell you the reason why I wanted to be baptized, and it's very simple. I wanted to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother Neil Dougal interviewed me along with other brethren, and I remember it so well, up there in the kitchen. And he said, why do you want to be baptized? That's a very good question. Another good answer is you see it in the Bible, and whatever I see in the Bible, I want to obey. I want to carry out God's word. And let's face it, most of us do not understand, and I'm included in that, all the spiritual significance of the Bible's word on baptism. Actually, on anything else as well. Are you an expert on the Bible? Beware of anybody that calls themselves an expert on the Bible. You can be sure that they are not. It is God's word, and it contains and is the mind of God. How can the finite, as I mentioned earlier, understand the infinite? There are no experts on the Bible. Not a one. Never has been, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living word of God, and he spoke about the written word of God. He only is the expert on the Bible. Well, what is baptism. It's an identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. When does it happen? After salvation. Where does it happen? Publicly. Who, what, when, and where? How? By immersion. The word baptism comes from the Greek word for immersion. Not sprinkling, not dipping. Immersion. That means completely hidden in order for it to fulfill the type and the correct interpretation of Scripture. You have to be completely under the water for just a moment and then come up. And it tells of a thing that has already transpired, something that has already taken place. You have already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're merely carrying out his order. He wants us to be identified with him. Do you know why the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized? Do you? He wanted to be identified with us. That's the reason. We are baptized to be identified with him, and he was baptized to be identified with us. It was at the very beginning of his public ministry. And right after he was baptized, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tested. Now, what does that mean? Tested? I'll take a moment here and explain what that means. There are Christians, and I've talked with some of them, who believe the Lord Jesus Christ could have sinned, but did not. That's blasphemy. Just call it just exactly what it is. That's a doctrine of demons. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and anything that would even cast a shadow on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by work I mean, say, a limited atonement, that he didn't die for everybody, he only died for a few people, that's blasphemy. The Bible teaches otherwise. When you contradict God, you're blaspheming. I told you this morning about evolution. People believe in evolution and they laugh at those who don't believe in evolution. Well, if somebody laughs at you, you know what you tell them? You do just like I do. You say, okay, I got the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible saying, in the beginning, God made them male and female, Adam and Eve. In the beginning, the Lord Jesus said that. Now I got you saying something different. Now, whom should I believe? You or the Lord Jesus Christ? I've said that a number of times to a number of people, and they have nothing to say. I say, are you better than the Lord Jesus Christ? Tell me. Speak. They don't say anything if they're smart. They won't say a thing. And if they're a really terrible sinner, they might say something, but if they do, they'll know that they're speaking their own condemnation. And I say, be careful how you answer, because every idle word spoken will demand a reply in a coming day, the judgment of God. Be careful. There aren't too many people that are willing to stand up for the Christ of God. Stand up for God's word. Don't be afraid of people who think they know something. Don't you forget, their creator is your father. Remember that. Their creator is your father. You don't have to be afraid of anybody. My daddy can lick your daddy. You ever hear that as a child? Their father is Satan. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Who's stronger, God, your father, or their father, the devil? My father can beat your father, and he does it all day, every day. Don't be afraid to stand up for Christ. Your father is their creator. Well, a test of an ordinance is commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also practiced by the early church. practiced. What do you mean practiced? It means that's what they did. If we go to the book of Acts, we see the blessing all through the book of the Acts. And you know why? One of the reasons why? Blessing comes from obedience. We were talking a little bit about that in the car on the way home this morning. Disobedience always brings a curse. Remember that. Disobedience brings a curse. The Bible is just chock full of it. And people's lives now are chock full of it. Chock full of disobedient and chock full of cursing. Christians that obey God are blessed. Not necessarily with material things either. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the true riches that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. In obedience to his word, you will be blessed. God says so. That's one of the 8,000 promises that are in God's word. Some of the promises are bad, terrible promises, but they're promises from God, and they will happen. God promises hell to those that die in their sins. Now, I believe everyone here is saved. They've made a profession of salvation, and I'm very happy to see that. But listen, think of the unsaved. If you're saved, you have not only a tremendous privilege, you have a tremendous responsibility not only to live Christ, but to share Christ and to preach Christ and to witness for Christ. That's why you're here. He did not take us home. He left us here for that reason. He's given us everything that we need in order to go out and aggressively. Now, I know some people are more aggressive than others. Did you ever hear of the toilet evangelist? Maybe I shouldn't use the word toilet. There was a man named Leonard Lindstedt who told me this story, and it's true. He used to write more gospel tracts than anybody I know. He wrote them, and they were all very good, and he was very sound biblically. And he told me one time, he says, down in Oklahoma, right through there in all the bus stations, airport terminals, every place that people go in the men's room, and only in the men's room, they would see the same gospel tract. There was always a fresh gospel tract in that men's room. And all the preachers down by that way would get together and try to figure out who this person was. Never in a ladies' room, so we know it was a man. But he was very shy, apparently, and he never came forth. He never had his name on the back of the tract. He just passed out that tract. You can be the same way. If you might be shy, and that's all right. That's the way God made you. He made me shy, too. You wouldn't know it now, would you? God changes people. For the better, I hope, in my case. But I'm getting closer to Christ, and I see the need. So that just kind of fizzled away my shyness, and I have to go out and preach the gospel. I have to teach the gospel. I have to live for Christ, and I have to be bold. And God, if you want God to work in your life, he can do the same for you, but you can always leave a tract and pass them out. That's how we win souls for Christ. Well, practiced by the early church. Turn to Acts chapter 2 for an example, and I'm going to be very quick here. Acts chapter 2, the blessing came because they were in unity. All through the book of the Acts, we see unity, chapter 2, and starting at verse 37, and I'll go quickly. When they heard this sermon, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? They heard the gospel message. They were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and they wanted to know what to do. They said, Repent. Verse 38, repent. That means to change your mind. That's the first step of salvation after conviction. The first thing you do is repent, turn away, change your mind. That's what repent means, is to change your thinking. Recognize God's holiness, for instance. Recognize your unholiness and uncleanness before God. And it says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and so on. practiced by the early church. And we could go to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 as well. We can see Paul's, the apostle's conversion in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 10 is the centurion, the Roman centurion, and so on. There are many examples that baptism was practiced by the early church. And that's why one reason, one is unity, of one accord, unity. Another reason is obedience. Remember we said, and Bible teaches, obedience to the Lord always brings a blessing. And also, the third thing, and with this I close, it was taught in the epistles. Is baptism taught in the epistles? I think many of us here know that it is. It's taught in Romans, it's taught in Ephesians, and it was practiced by the early church, and most of all, it was commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. So in a moment, Lord willing, we are going to witness an obedient servant of God and an obedient assembly of Christians carry out the word of God. And Ralph will lead us in singing while we make ready, and we'll be all set. Thank you. And Ralph, would you close in prayer as well, please? Thank you.
Let's sing hymn number 167. 167. Perhaps this would be a good time if some of the children would like to come up closer to get a good view of the baptism. There's plenty of room in these front seats here. Hymn number 167. Low in the gravy lay Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Sing the last verse after he's baptized.
Matthew Rieger, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Absolutely.
Very good. Yes. Then on the testimony of your faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this assembly baptizes you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You've got a mouthful. Okay. Let's just sing the last verse then of Christ Arose. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph for his foes, rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee once again for Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee for Matt, Lord, and his testimony and for his desire to obey You in going to the waters of baptism. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father. We thank Thee for his testimony. We just pray, Lord, that You would bless him and encourage him and help him in his way to serve You, Lord. And we just give Thee thanks now for this time together. In Your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.